everybody doing today?
I suppose okay.
You suppose okay. You suppose. But you're not sure.
You think.
All right.
I feel like I need to move up here a little bit, so I'm going to get a little more intimate. Who was here last week? Anybody? Kind of quiet last week? A little bit? So we sent a whole bunch of us, by a whole bunch, I think about 18 people, 9 couples from this church went up to the Weekend to Remember marriage. Sorry. This thing. It was a marriage retreat, marriage seminar, marriage thingy up in Indianapolis. And for people that don't know anything about it, I think sometimes there's the assumption that if you go to one of these things, you're going there because there's a big problem, right? There's some big issue in your relationship and you're having to address that. And I just want to make sure you guys recognize, those of you who are married or thinking of getting married or wanting to get married, this kind of a thing is really not that. This is to keep you from getting to that point, all right? It's more of a prevention type seminar to help you learn things that maybe your mom or dad never told you that you ought to know, those kinds of things. And there's a few things they taught us that there ain't no way my mom and dad would have ever told me that. So I thought I'd get an amen or something out of that, so... no excessive giggling. So anyways, in preparing for today, I was thinking about doing a teaching of some sort today, but I'm going to postpone that. Instead, I want to take today to give you guys an opportunity to learn a little bit what some of us learned last week. So I sent a note out, and I've got a couple of people that said they want to share. I'm hoping that there might be a few others of the people that went on the retreat that would want to share, even if it's just a 10-second little blurb of the one main thing that they picked up from the weekend. Before I go any further, I want to take a few moments and I want to pray. And then I want to tell you a little bit about, not my takeaway from the weekend, but about an interesting kind of a thought process that was going through my mind. While I'm doing that, I encourage the couples that did go, you know, be chewing on and thinking about what you might want to share if you're not prepared, but that maybe your heart's changing a little bit and you want to share something. And once I get done, then we'll just open up the mic and we'll let the Mr. Microphone roam around the room and let people share a little bit. So let's pray. God, unity is it's a beautiful thing. The older I get, the more you're teaching me how it's relationships in life that are the most valuable and the most beautiful things. It's my relationships with my friends and my coworkers and my family here at church and my kids and my wife. And most importantly, my relationship with you. God, as a community, help us to never forget the importance of relationships, the importance of getting the order right, the importance of being bonded with you and getting our life right with you in the beginning and then letting that flow out into the rest of our lives. Help us to not forget how important it is to love others the way you loved us and not love others for what we can get out of it, to not be in a marriage for what we can get out of it, but to be there for what we can put into it. God, I confess to you that I didn't trust you for years on this matter. I didn't trust that if I put more into something than I tried to get out of it, that somehow you would deliver out of it exactly what I needed. But I thank you that as time, friends and situations and things you've taken me through have taught me these things, and I've got a long ways to go, but I praise you and thank you for what you've taught me. And I praise you and thank you for the weekend last weekend. Even though I've been married for several years now, learning that there's still much that I can do to make things better and to bring you more glory. God, I ask that the words that are shared today will be your words. and that the words that are heard today will be people listening to you speak through the people here, and that there will be some great things. There will be some life change as a result of this. And finally, God, we praise you and we love you, and we give you this day as a gift, and we ask that you will help us to give you every day as a gift. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. For starters, I wanted to tell you guys that the makeup of this kind of a conference, so this is a Christian conference, and so you've got this kind of hodgepodge of different churches coming together. And would anyone here say, did the makeup of that conference remind you of the makeup that you see in this room here? I see. Yeah. Uh-huh. Tell me how you saw the similarities. Yeah. So the demographic was definitely more toward the young side, more a lot like our demographic here. And just in case anyone here happens to not know this, we're blessed to have that demographic because in the Christian world, one of the things that is really difficult is for young people to come together. And so we're really blessed that we've got some young people here. It's an awesome thing. I saw a few kind of almost like, no, the demographic really wasn't like this place. How about somebody sharing how the demographic was a little bit different? Anybody? I thought I saw a shake. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I made that up. Nobody? No difference. It's okay. I saw some differences. So I'll share some, but were you starting? No. Yeah, so I think that's fair. So for you podcasters out there, all one of you that listens to this recording, so the comment was that our church is different. I mean, that the demographic there was a more traditional, I think was the word you used, type of or makeup of group of folks, and that our church was weird. Was that what you said? Not quite, yeah. It was. Did you say God bless the freaks? Okay, I don't know what to do with that. And I think one of the big takeaways, I've told several people about this that I took from the weekend, and this is a maturing process for myself, is that how easy it is to go into an environment that is made up of people that are kind of like you but kind of not like you. So maybe you're a little more on the conservative side than somebody in some discussion, and they're a little more liberal, and so you're having this discussion. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you're a little more liberal in one mindset, and someone's a little more conservative. And it's so easy to look for the first thing that you don't like and then discount everything else. Anybody experience that? It's a struggle of mine. And I think it's taken me years to grow toward being able to accept that. So there were a lot of things in the weekend that were things that were kind of like, ugh, like somebody said something that wasn't quite exactly the way I would have liked to had it said. And I fought hard through the weekend to every time that would happen to just smile and say, hey, you know, this is another one of God's children. They see things maybe a little different than I do. Let's look for the gold. And I was fortunate that I was able to keep that mindset, and I was stunned at the gold that was in this weekend. There were so many things that I just, as I was hearing it, I don't think it's always healthy to think of other people. You really need to think about yourself. But there were lots of times that I would hear something, I'd be like, oh, so-and-so was talking to me one day and really struggling with this. I think I want to tell them about this weekend and say, hey, maybe you ought to consider going out and spending a weekend like this with your wife, because I think there's some things in this you might be able to hear. Because that kind of stuff was happening all the time. So some really beautiful things. So with that said, of the couples that went, does anybody want to raise a hand and say that something they would like to share from the weekend that really impacted them or changed their life? And it, like I said, it can be a 10-second thing. It can be a couple minutes. Just a hand raise. Somebody. All right. Mr. Ritchie.
Well, I think that one thing that was really good for us was that it was in a different city, and that, you know, you kind of have a weekend where you go somewhere new and they give you one of the evenings and afternoons free to have a date night. So you're kind of expected to kind of go out and walk around a little bit. And I think for us, that's really good and something that we need to do better about is just kind of going on adventures together as a couple. And I think that that's the way that the weekend is structured, is to kind of encourage that, because they structure things so that right before that you have a lot of heart-to-heart conversations about stuff. And then you're expected to kind of go out and spend a very unstructured afternoon together and just enjoy the town. And I think that that's really good and something to kind of help you get out of a rut and kind of get out and just spend quality time together. And I would say that that would be even more valuable for people who have children who don't get to do that kind of thing a lot.
So I think we had a really great time on the weekend. It was really nice to just make, like you said, take dedicated time to really look at your marriage, because there's a lot of times where, you know, there, if there's not really problems, then it's not, you know, I'm kind of, it's not broke, don't fix it person, so I don't really give a lot of attention unless something's really wrong. And so it was really nice to have that time to just sit down and be able to really reflect and look at how things could be better, even if they're not broken. But I think we had a really great time, and we're actually hoping to get Emily's brother, and so he's... looking to get married. So he's asking a lot of these questions about communication and things like that. And so a lot of these lessons that we've learned and have been so important to us, we want to make sure that he also gets to hear. And so this was just, you know, there was so much in the weekend about, you know, how to make marriage work. And it talked about how, you know, and you look in our culture today, you look on TV, there aren't examples of marriages that are really made to last. You know, they talk about how, you know, when they talk about marriage, they had a quick way of saying it was like committed, enduring, permanent relationships. And then you kind of contrast that to a lot of what you see where marriage is just sort of disposable, or, you know, you kind of make sure you protect yourself, you know, so that when it falls apart, you're ready. And so it was important to us. We're hoping that, you know, we can get him out there so that he can get that message also. And so we would encourage anybody to go, regardless. I think, you know, there's something for everybody to learn. So it was really great.
I was saying that I looked up on the website, I think it's Family Life is the name of the organization, and they do these all around the country, multiple sites in the same weekend. Just like last weekend, they had Anchorage, Alaska, and Kalamazoo, Michigan, a couple places. In the way. Yeah. Just the tuition, not the flight, not the hotel. I wasn't really planning on sharing much today, but yeah, I do. They had a time where they broke the men and women up on Sunday morning, and I appreciate that time. Um, one of the things that was mentioned was there was a couple there from Granger, and the guy's a pastor at a church up in Northern Indiana, and he was sharing about, no, and there was another guy who's a syndicated radio fellow, and he was sharing that when his son was about 7 years old, they were on a bike ride, and he asked his son, what's the difference between a man and a woman? And his son said, well, there's different body parts. And he said, well, what else is different? And he said, oh, that's about it, Dad. And so he was saying that from then on, about once a month, he and his son would go out and spend time to talk about the importance of the differences between men and women and how to, you know, treat a woman. And I took a lot out of that moment. I think something I realized is that I tend to like being in group environments more than one-on-one, and I don't really spend a lot of time one-on-one with just my son or just my daughter. I do with Jen quite a bit one-on-one, but with the kids I don't, and I think that's important. So that's one of the big takeaways for me.
All right, hey. So, I'm usually back in this booth back here, so we're in the back there. So, anyway, this weekend was very, very good for us. I think one of the challenges that we've had through our relationship has been kind of just communicating with one another effectively, right? One of the things that caused me to fall in love with Charmin was her bubbliness and her fun-loving attitude and kind of just being up. You know, she's an up person. And for me, I'm a little bit different from that. And she's definitely more communicative than I am, right? So she just naturally. And I think that kind of across the board, one of the things I talked about this week was just that women just, what was it? I don't remember the ratio, but it was something like women speak at least 3 times more words per day than a man. I think that, was that the right stat? Was it about like that? 100? It might be 300 times more. But one of the things I think for any couple and that presents a challenge is really understanding how we communicate with one another and kind of adjusting your communication style to the other. So you can kind of meet halfway. And that's not an easy thing to do. So one of the things that they talked about was kind of a variety of factors that kind of make communication difficult. And one of the examples they used, which we've actually talked about since and used in kind of a joking sense, was the land the plane versus enjoy the ride communicators, right? So there's these factors, and one of them was land the plane communicator, and this person wants to find the shortest path to the goal. The destination is their goal. That would be me. And enjoy the ride communicators think that you might as well relax and enjoy the ride. The trip itself is what it's all about. So she might be telling me something, and we'll go down this path, and she's communicating it, and we might veer off onto 3 or 4 detours and then come back around to the point at the end, right? And the whole time I'm like, land the plane, right? So we've talked about this since, and so that's a key difference that we have. So let me just see. The people, if you went, feel free to raise your hand, or if you didn't go and you know what I'm talking about here, how many of you are land the plane communicators? Okay, I see mostly men, and except a few women, okay, and then enjoy the ride communicators, just kind of like, okay, all right. So she and I are different on that front, right? So there's share your feelings versus just the fact communicators. The share your feelings communicators feel deeply about what they communicate. For them, emotions are simply a part of thinking, and just the fact communicators set aside emotions for logic, reason, and fact. For them, emotions interfere with good thinking. So how many of you are share your feelings communicators? Not many. Okay. And just the facts. Okay. More just the fact communicators. We're opposite on that communication style as well. And then there's thinking out. The last one is thinking. Depends on the topic. So I am, and most men are typically share the fact or just the facts communicators, and most women tend to be share your feelings communicators. Not in all cases, obviously. But then there's the last one, which is thinking out loud versus let's take turn communicators. The thinking out loud communicators ask questions and make comments as soon as the thought occurs. Even if the other person happens to be talking at the time, for them, conversation is a group activity. And then there's let's take turns. Communicators use the principles of justice and fair play to govern communication. Conversations are simple. First you talk, then I talk. So let's do that one. Thinking out loud communicators, how many are just go with the flow just as a thought enters? Okay. And then how about let's take turns? Okay, I'm a let's take turns communicator. I try not to interrupt, and I wait, and I hold, and sometimes I forget my point, but that's part of, I think, the setting the boundaries. For me, in my mind, that's part of the boundaries, right? I may forget my thought, but sometimes it takes, I do have to just jump in, but she's more of a thinking out loud communicator, and we're opposite on that. So communication style-wise, we're opposites on every three categories. So I guess for many of the couples that went, or if you're here as a couple, how many of you are your opposites in every one of those categories? Is there anybody else that was complete their opposites? Okay, so you got like a half dozen couples here. So for us, the takeaway from that was pretty huge, in that, you know, we just have to work harder at understanding that about each other and try to meet each other halfway. And if there's something a point that I need to make, then I think that she can now understand better about how I receive those comments and how to interact with me and my style, and then vice versa. I know that she's just going to go down these paths, and if I have a thought, I better just throw it out there, right, and get it out and let her take that wherever it goes. So kind of respecting each other's styles a little bit more and kind of incorporating that into our conversation. But the points that they made here at the end, and I'll wrap it up here, but the misunderstanding can develop when we are at opposite ends of these styles. We must allow freedom for differences in our communication styles, and we can promote healthy communication by adjusting our style to honor each other. I think for us that was big for us in this whole weekend, in really preventing some of these things that these conversations that couples have. That we have from kind of escalating and feeling frustrated about not being heard or not feeling like you're not understood and not gotten. I think this point right here is going to help us really shore that up. So it's something that we're working on. So did you want to share something?
Yeah. You sure don't have anything you want to share on there?
No.
Was anybody else that are in the couples going to share anything about the aspect of respecting your husband or the I didn't want to trample on something that somebody else was going to say or point. But anyway, they divided us between the women and men, and they took us at one point. Most of it was as couples, but then they divided us for a session or so between the women and the men, and a woman talked to us. And one of the things that was a big takeaway for me, too, was that I'll try to make logical points and not ramble and not take you on a big ride. But on the plane. But there's too much pressure. Okay, so respecting your husband. Let me just start with that one. Respecting your husband, she told the women that, women, we are equal. Women and men are equal, but we are not the same. And we've kind of been told a lie, I think, or believed a lie, that we are the same, or feminism, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a complete anti-feminist, but the feminist movement, I think, among some other things with women, has kind of helped changed the belief system of women and men in some cases, but making us feel as though maybe we are the same. Where I can do anything a man can do, and I can do it twice as good, and I can, me, that kind of thing. I'm independent, I don't need, or whatever. As if that's a bad thing, as if it's weak, or the words submissive sound weak, maybe even weak-minded. You know, you worry as a woman that you don't want to fall into that trap. You want to be respected as a woman as well. But what the lady was telling us is that we are equal. Men and women are equal, but we are not the same. God created us very differently. He had a setup in mind of how things were to go between a man and a woman in the household. The man is the head of the house, as Jesus is the head of the body of the church, and the man must love his wife and respect her and love his wife as himself. So then his decision-making process would always be with her interest in mind as well as his interest in mind. And as long as that setup stays like it is, and the wife respects the husband, and she is, like, if your husband is the president of the corporation, you are the vice president. But you have to acknowledge that your husband has the ultimate, the ultimate authority or the ultimate respect level in that scenario. And that's not a bad thing, because women have very great assets they can bring to that relationship that are different from men. Men have all those assets that are just uniquely male that they bring to that relationship, and we need each other. And it can be very, very beautiful when we allow that to happen. So in the vein of respecting your husband, I didn't always realize that, and I'll just kind of throw this in, jokingly, I had this, you know, has anybody seen the movie The Stepford Wives? Anybody? Okay. One person? The Stepford? Okay, all right. You know what I mean when I say The Stepford Wives then? Well, I'll give you a little scenario. It's like a utopia for men. Essentially, this movie was that their women would take a pill when the bell would ring, you know, at a certain time of the day or something. And these women were very much like robotic, and they made the meals just great. And they were like, you know, all about their husbands. But they pegged them as very blank. You know, I'm just only there for you, and I have no, you know, no opinion. Everything's whatever your opinion is, dear, or whatever. And that's not what they're talking about. Not what they're talking about. So I had this fear in the back of my mind, I think, as a woman, that, well, no man's ever going to, you know, I'm not going to be like that to any man. So I have a little bit of a bristle up about me when it comes to things. And I have a control issue, where many women might have control issues. They talked about that. Trying to want to have the ultimate control. Even Eve did. They talked about Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, how she was the one that went outside what God had said to do. And once she did it, then she brought it to her husband. And so with the issue of respect, I've understood that with Greg, I love him, and I show him how I love him a lot of different ways. But to him, and to a lot of men, most men, respect is just at the top of the list. And what respect looks like is that a couple of things I was doing that I didn't realize. With our child, we're kind of new parents. We've got a six-year-old boy. When I stay with Jacob all day at home. When I'm correcting him all day long, I'm the one that's responsible for that. And I know the details of the day. I know what might have happened earlier. Greg comes home from work, and something happens with Jacob, and he goes to step in to correct him. And I was having a difficulty just allowing that to happen, that interaction to happen between the two of them. I would find myself stepping in at some points and saying, well, yeah, but he, you know, you don't realize, but earlier today, you know, this is what happened. And so he's probably, you know, and if I felt like it was too harsh, I kind of felt that mama bear thing coming in where I was protecting my son, you know, a little bit. And so he would tell me later on, he's like, you know, if you have an issue with what's going on, we've got to save that for after we're in front of Jacob, because that's another point they talked about. It's a lot of information was given over the weekend, but you have to be a united front to your child. And as a woman, we've believed a little bit of a lie in that the motherhood now, it doesn't just like end, like, how do I want to say, the really detailed, labor intensive, involved mothering of a child should kind of really end around two-ish, where you kind of back off from them and they start to become independent. And whatever they are able to do and capable of doing, you must allow them to do. But we've also fallen in that trap where, as a new mom, I've done more, or how do I want to say, made mistakes with Jacob, I think, where maybe you think of your identity as the mother, but your identity as a woman is your husband's wife. That's the main part, and I think I'm taking some away from the homeschool convention right now. But anyway, it was where, you know, that has to be, the priority relationship has to be between the husband and the wife. That's what it is. Because long after your kids are gone and they leave the nest, it is about your husband and you and how you have remained united. And so that was a huge wake-up call for me that, yes, you're a mother, and so he is a father, but first and foremost, he is my priority. So I think a lot of relationships fall into the problem of where the woman has spent so much time during the day. They've been the mom. Maybe that's so exhausting. You've worked on other things, the house, maybe worked outside the home. You get to the end of the day, and there's just nothing left. And, well, your husband has needs, but you're like, ugh, you know, I mean, he'll be all right. He's an adult. You know, I mean, maybe he can wear the same pair of underwear tomorrow. I don't know. I'll wash them, you know. That. Yeah. So, yeah, but that mindset of never telling all of family. So, you know, and so anyway, yeah, and like, you know, that mindset, it can start, what it does is start a downward spiral. It ends up starting an, or people make the mistake of talking to their husband like they talk to their child. You know, have you ever heard of, has any couples in here ever heard other people like that where the wife is just belittling in conversation in front of other people too? And you're like, yikes. I mean, with a man, you know, the respect level is that we respect him, and the communication has, we have to work on the respect level in the communication, which means allowing you to speak when you have something to speak, not trampling over what you have to say, not trying to control the issues all the time, and understanding that if I do give up control, if you have our best interest in mind, then, and we both love the Lord. That's the main thing, too. Both of us have a strong relationship with God. If that's what two couples can have, then it won't be such a fearful thing. It'll be a beautiful thing. It'll work like a well-oiled machine is what it starts doing. So the respect level I learned is don't jump in with Jacob when Greg is parenting Jacob. I stand united with him, and we both unite Jacob, whatever he's saying. And then later on, we might say whatever our differences are. And with him as a husband, then, I've actually made mistakes before, too, as a wife. I didn't even realize this would make my husband feel disrespected. But the good thing you can do, and this was a takeaway from this, was ask your mate, ask the person you're dating, ask the your fiancé, whoever, your husband, in what ways do I make you feel respected? And also, in what ways do I disrespect you? Or what way do you find is disrespectful something I'm doing that I might be able to work on? And that's really huge. So one time we were just hanging out around the house, and he does IT computer stuff for a living. He's really super great at understanding that realm. And then, you know, I was thinking one day, we were talking about home improvement stuff, weren't we? And it was like a chandelier or light thing. Do you remember that? And I was like, I think I'm going to call, who was it, Tracy Moses Electrician Group. I'm just going to have them put, I want to get this new chandelier thing put up, and I'm going to have them call. And he was like, was that the thing where you said I wanted to try that, or was it the tile work? Maybe it was like tile work or something in our bathroom. I was going to go ahead and call somebody. I didn't even think it would bother him. And he said, I was going to attempt that. I wanted to do that home improvement project. And I think I said something like, well, you don't like tile. You don't know about laying tile, you know. And it was not, it was a flippant, I'm like, you know, he knows so much about computers and so much about so many things, but yet tile, it just wasn't one of them, and I just was kind of flippant about that and not meaning to hurt his feelings. And I found that later on in communicating that it did hurt his feelings. It did make him feel disrespected, that in the fact, or incapable. Yeah, so as a wife, you know, something we can do for our mate that's really helpful is to help encourage them, words of encouragement, and encourage their capability. And not belittling, and just trying to be more thinking of them as your, not your enemy. Like when relationships get to spiral too far down, sometimes we become enemies, you know. And so I kind of think I'm taking it off.
So you've officially enjoyed the ride. I'm going to land a plane here. It's coming in for a landing. So wrap it up, B. No, it's good. So the last thing I guess I would say about this is that the goal, I think, in any relationship and what we've learned in the marriage conference, and we went to homeschool conference before that, but the real goal is to create a virtuous cycle, right, instead of a downward cycle, a spiral. So it's very easy to enter into that downward spiral with just some ill-timed words and just some thoughts that leave your mouth that shouldn't. They just be kept to yourself. And those things can quickly add up and create this downward spiral. And the thing that we're working on and we took away from this, the whole thing, is that it's imperative that we try to do those things and communicate in a way and say the things the other person needs in order to create a virtuous cycle. So an upward spiral where we're benefiting one another, supporting one another, creating an environment that is conducive to love and a godly relationship. And so I think the best thing that I could say about what I am working on right now is those things that contribute to destroying that virtuous cycle. Focus on those. Eliminate them from our relationship and from what comes out of my mouth and the things that I do, and try to create that godly, supportive relationship. We have a long way to go, obviously, but those are the kind of the key points for us. So, thanks.
All did this and how important it is, and living through several generations of now, I can see a lot of hindsight about these kind of things and what was important and what wasn't important. And one of the things that, as I was listening to everybody, I realized was really important both as a couple and as parents is that who do you learn to be a couple from? Well, hopefully it was your parents, you know, but that's not always the case. And that didn't happen to be the case in my family. My parents didn't communicate, didn't talk to each other. And so I didn't learn that. And so I went into a marriage not having a clue as to how to be in a marriage, how to communicate. That is such an important piece for the couple to grow in their relationship, and it's also an important piece when you have children. They see what you do. They don't hear what you say as well as they see what you do. And so if they see you being a couple, communicating with each other, then they will have some idea how to do that when they mature. And that is so important. Also wanted to share that, yes, women do communicate more than men. I know that now to be a fact because I'm the only human in my house. But I have a dog, and he's a male. And I talk, and he bobs his head back and forth. But, you know, yeah, I communicate more than men do. And that little dog does his job by doing this.
All right, anybody else? Eric.
Yeah, I wanted to say one of the big themes of the weekend was that the marital relationship is a sacred relationship. And I think one of the things they had us kind of look into each other's eyes and say is you're a gift from God. And, you know, thank you for being my wife, for being my husband. And that was really special. And at the beginning, they kind of set the tone of, like, well, our culture doesn't really value these sacred spaces so much. So you need to recognize that your relationship with your wife is a sacred relationship. And that was really important. They emphasized that a lot. On the flip side, they also had us repeat things like, you are not my enemy, and I will never divorce you to each other, which was kind of funny. But it's also important to build that trust and know that, you know, we're going to be able to get through those tough times. And I think one of the relational things I thought really hit home for me was in talking about, like, fighting fair is recognizing when there is some sort of discord in a relationship to really focus on, like, what your involvement in that discord is, have you contributed to the issue, and really kind of start from that point and seeking out, you know, forgiveness from your mate for that before you are blaming and thinking about all the things they've done. So I know that's something I value. Yes.
One thing that my wife and I, Hannah and I, kind of resist is the stereotyping that oftentimes, like, men are this way, women are that way. But it is true that there's clear differences between men and women in the way that they handle situations and stuff. But, like, in the Bible where men are supposed to be leaders in, like, the spiritual walk and stuff, we always kind of think that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But in the conference, they talked about how if the woman is, like, better at finances or is an accounting major or something like that, then they can do the checkbooks and manage the finances and stuff. And, you know, you can break up responsibilities based on what each person's better at. And when it comes to, like, leadership biblically and for God, it's important that both are just as committed and involved in that. But really it is kind of the man's ultimate responsibility, or I guess accountability, I would say. And one statistic that they shared in the men's session was that when a child is the first one to become a Christian in a whole family, then I think like 3 or 4% of the families all become Christians. When it's the woman, like the wife or the mother in the family, then it's like 12 or 15% of those families become Christians. And then when the father or the husband becomes a Christian first in the family, it was like 93 or 96% of the families become Christians. And so it's statistically proven that males kind of have the more leadership, role or kind of view. But it was interesting to kind of hear that again.
It was just a cool story one of the guys told. But, like, so Emily and I are going to be parents soon, but we're not yet. So when they did all this parenting stuff, it was sort of just putting it on the shelf. But they had a lot of really cool stuff. But one of the things he talked about is this, the speaker, you know, his father, when he was, like, 14, bought this rusted out, you know, junked out Mustang. And so he was really upset, you know, this is going to be his car. And he was like, you know, it's such a piece of junk. Well, then, so over the next 2 years, his dad was a mechanic, and he completely restored it, and it was this amazing car. But he talked about how over those 2 years, his dad would spend all these nights out in the garage working on the car, and he would go out there and try to help. And his dad, you know, he said his dad was a very, very quiet person, and he wouldn't really say anything except, you know, hand me this wrench, give me this, you know. And so then he really lost the son, lost interest, and just kind of eventually stopped coming out to the garage. And so then when his dad eventually gave it to him when he was 16, he said, you know, his dad asked me, hey, why didn't you spend more time out with me taking care of this car, you know, fixing it back up? And he said, well, you know, when I was out there, you never taught me anything. And so I think it's really easy. You know, I don't have kids yet, but just in the way I relate with other people, it's easy to, like, think I'm including people in experiences and think that, you know, like, you know, kids do learn more from your actions than they do from what you tell them. But then it's also very important that what you really want to communicate, you really have to make an intentional effort, you know, like, so the father wasn't pointing out, you know, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing these things. It was just sort of come and spend time with me. And then he was kind of curious why it didn't, you know, transfer, why his son didn't get excited about it. And so, you know, taking that intentional time, like Eric was saying, you know, one-on-one, and really being, like, I think the speaker was just, you know, be very intentional about what you want your kids to get out of your relationship, because if you're not, you know, they'll get the gist of a lot of things, but, you know, if you're not intentional, you know, you'll kind of be surprised what you might miss out on. So anyway, that was something I put on the shelf that I'll pull off someday. I thought it was cool.
The last story I'll share, I think this was in the guy's session, maybe it was in both. Kind of going back to what Sharman was saying, was there was a guy that came into one of these speakers and in a counseling type format, And the guy said, what's the main problem? So he's just talking to the husband. What's the main problem? And the husband says, my main problem is that my wife will not submit to me. I mean, you guys, do you guys not cringe a little bit right then? I mean, that should have just been like a terrible experience for you. And I love, because I've never heard this witty, I suppose, if you want to say that, or this neat of a response to that. He said, where in the world did you get this concept that your wife is supposed to submit to you? And he's like, okay, this is a Christian counseling type thing. He said, the guy's looking at him like, are you crazy? It's right in the Bible. And he said, what's in the Bible? And the guy said, show me where. So the guy whips out Ephesians 5, verse 22. And the guy says, well, I'll read it to you. He says this to the counselor. And he says, wives, submit yourselves. And the counselor is like, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, what do you mean, whoa, whoa? He said, what was the first word there? And he said, wives. And he goes, that verse is not for you. He said, that verse is for your wife. He said, you leave that up to her to make that decision how she interprets and deals with that verse. He said, your verse is the next one, which is 25. Husbands, he said, now that's all yours. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I just thought, what an awesome, awesome response. What a way to knock that down. Little nuggets like that you get out of these conferences that are just awesome. We are at 12:15. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break up. And we've got a couple of announcements we'll go through while people are going to get their kids. So, God, thank you. Thank you for the time we spent sharing today. I hope your words were the words that were heard. Many people's lives were changed last weekend, and I hope a few lives were changed today. And God, I hope that we will continue in this oneness with you, in this unity with you, to then let that grow into the unity of our wives, our husbands, then let that grow into the unity of our church, the unity of this body we call the living room, which then we can let that grow into the unity of the global body, and then let that grow into unity with the world. We love you, God. We love everything you're teaching us. We ask that we'll have open minds and open hearts. Through Christ we pray. Amen. All right. If you've got kiddos, please go upstairs and get them so that they are rescued. If you need to go, by all means, get up. We've got a few announcements. Next week, Tim Hofflinger is going to be here speaking, which is awesome. And part of the reason Tim chose next week was because most first Sundays we have a community meal. And so that's Cinco de Mayo. And so I just want to throw out there, I don't know if anything's planned right now, but if somebody would want to volunteer to take the lead on that, that would be awesome. Eric, I don't know if you want to be involved with that or her. Or anyways, you guys can talk that over, but right now, Tim Hofflinger would appreciate some sort of Mexican Cinco de Mayo community meal. So hopefully I think we'd need a pinata for sure. I don't know what we would beat, but it has to be so. A Satan doll beat a Satan doll? Weird. That's just weird. Okay. All right. Other announcements? Anybody? Nothing. I said we had a few announcements. I actually was just assuming we'd have a few announcements. So. Judy. Okay, so she needs Chase to ride her bicycle down the street again. So, tricycle, I'm sorry, right. And we've got a month, right? June 1st, you say? Okay, so you guys stick that on a calendar someplace that Judy's going to need several helping hands on June 1st as she moves. It's just a few blocks, so it's not a lot of work. So, yeah. So I don't remember. It's May 19th. Okay. And it'll all come together. I mean, it is a little tricky to get to that place. So, maybe we'll even have a group of people meet together or something. We'll see. 10 to 3. So, yeah, you can kind of plan all the way into the early afternoon and then think that you're going to have the evening feed back up. So, yeah, it should be a great day. Should be a really great day and clear up a lot of questions that people have about how this place works and how structure works, as well as spending some time with God. So, guys, have a great week. It's wonderful to see all of you. And visitors, it's awesome that you guys are here. Hope you can come back anytime. Take care.